I recognize that God put me there that day at that time because she needed somebody to be comfort to her, to hear her, to listen, to befriend. And it's just like, that happens to me all the time now. I think you guys probably find the same thing. When your heart is open to listening to people and seeing them as a child of God, God just keeps putting people in my path all the time. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Welcome to Stories from the Street. I'm Beth.
And I'm Brian.
And today we have Deb McManaman. I'm sorry. I'm saying there's too many syllables. McManaman.
We might not get past this.
Not if I get giggly. Welcome to Stories from the Street. I'm Beth.
And I'm Brian.
And today we have Deb McManaman, who is a regional director of evangelization teams, and she's going to tell us all about her role in St. Paul Street Evangelization.
Give me joy in the morning. Beth, I'm really excited to bring Deb on today for our podcast.
Oh, Deb's awesome. I met Deb in 2015 when Adam brought together all these team leaders and volunteers for St. Paul Street Evangelization and created this new thing called Regional Missionaries. And Deb came into Detroit for that along with a number of our other great longtime team leaders. So that's when I met her. And that's one of the reasons I think for having Deb here is that she has done this so well around her whole diocese. She has networked from the bishop, the priest, pastors, lay people, and just helping them all to understand not only what we do at St. Paul Street Evangelization with our non-confrontational evangelization, but also the urgency and the importance of it. And she's been able to get a lot of excitement in her diocese. So I think that we all can learn a lot from Deb. So I'm great to have her here.
Let's bring her on, Deb. Thanks for being on with us today for this podcast.
Thanks, Brian and Beth. I'm glad to be here and to talk with you today.
And to be able to share with us your wisdom, because we need it.
I don't know if I'll go that far, but...
Maybe we get in my own personal spiritual direction a little bit later.
Yeah.
I mean, just as Beth said, you've been with the apostolate probably even longer than both of us, certainly longer than I have. And so I know I have a lot to learn from you, and just which is why I want to bring you on. I think you have a lot to share with me and even those who will listen to this podcast about evangelization and specifically how that works with our apostolate. And I just want to start with the beginning, kind of ask you, how did you first hear about St. Paul Street Evangelization and what made you begin volunteering with it?
It's kind of a funny story. I was listening to Catholic radio on my computer.
Of course.
And I heard Steve on Catholic Answers, and he was talking about being a Catholic apologist. And it was like, what in the world? I've never heard of such a thing. Catholics out talking about their faith on the street. And I kind of ignored it, you know. But I was curious enough that I signed up for the newsletter. And so I started getting that. And every time I read the stories from the street, it was like, oh my gosh, people are really doing this. Of course, I never would do that because that's totally outside of my comfort zone. But it was really cool to read about it and other people doing it. And then Beth talked about the leadership conference. An email came out saying, oh, we're having this leadership conference and we're training and we would like people to apply for that. And so I hit delete on the email, and then it came again. I hit delete again. And then the third time it was like, I wonder if God is trying to send me a message here. So I did apply, and I ended up going to the conference.
So you're telling us the bombarding of emails actually is the Holy Spirit
working.
Work.
Okay. It does work. Yes. And that really that caught me on fire going to the conference. And of course, we went out evangelizing. I was not on a team at that point. And then we went out. The first thing we did before we even went to the conference, Beth, you probably remember this, is Steve says, well, we're going to go downtown Detroit and start evangelizing. And it was like, wait a minute. I'm from Owatonna, Minnesota. We don't do this here. You know, I don't know what to do. But they paired up, you know, people that had no experience with people that had a lot of experience. And then it was just a beautiful encounter on the street. And I actually got to experience that firsthand before so it was like, if I can do this, anybody could do this, you know? And then we got the training and the tools that we needed to do this. And that just...
Did anything profound happen in that very first outing that you had?
Well, I think the biggest thing was we went outside a restaurant down there, and immediately when we stood outside the restaurant, the owner came out of the restaurant and said, "You can't be in front of here." And I was with a very experienced street leader, and the guy happened to be Muslim, and he said to him, "Oh, well, we're out here talking to people about God." He said, "You believe in God, right?" And the man said, "Oh, yes, Allah." And so we started talking about God and Mary, and we showed him what we were doing, and he said, "Oh, well, stay out here as long as you want."
Oh, really? That's amazing.
And then we had just wonderful. We talked to somebody who was atheist, and he changed his mind after just, like we say, 2-minute conversations. We got done, and he said, "Well, nobody's ever explained it to me like this without arguing with me. I can see that maybe I do believe in God." You know, and it's wow. Just like a guy ran across the street from another restaurant who was cooking, and he said, "I can't talk, but I saw you were giving away rosaries. Could you give me a rosary?" He said, it's like left his food that he was cooking because he saw us out there. It's like, wow.
That is,
you
really
know, this
cool.
This impact that you can have just by being available to people is so amazing.
That's amazing, Deb. And I mean, that was your very first time going out, and yep. Now, how long ago was that? Was that 3 years ago?
Yeah, about 3 years ago.
And of all the 3 years that you've been with St. Paul Street Evangelization since that time, do you have a favorite story that you love to share from evangelizing?
Well, one of the ones that touched me early on was when we were actually there for that weekend, we participated in Night Fever, which is, there's a parade that goes on outside of a church, and people are outside inviting people to come in and light a candle.
And this is in Minnesota?
Nope, this is in, Beth, do you know the town that's in?
Yeah, well, it's downtown Detroit in Greektown.
Oh, okay. I know exactly where it's at.
Yeah,
so
I've been in that church.
I was one of the people praying inside the church, so somebody would ask people on the street watching the parade to come into the church, light a candle, and I was in there praying, and I had just wonderful prayer experiences with people. And then there were also priests in there that would do confession if somebody needed confession, and there were prayer warriors in there. So the guy was coming in, and his name was Tony, and I said, "Tony, is there anything I can pray with you about?" And he told me the story of he's a dad of 6 kids. And his wife was schizophrenic and had stopped taking her medication. And she left, and nobody knew who she was. And he was just really beside himself and so upset about this. And so he was struggling to take care of his kids, to keep his job. And he just didn't know. It was like at the end of his rope. He didn't know what to do anymore. And I said, "Well, is that okay? Can I pray with you about that right now?" And so we prayed for peace and for healing for his wife, in thanksgiving for him being such a caring and loving husband and dad. And I could see he was visibly relieved from having somebody pray with him. And his son, he had a teenage son in there with him. And I said, "Can I pray with you about anything?" And he said, "I just want my mom to come home." And the son started to cry, and the dad started to cry, and I started to cry. Oh. And I thought to myself, what if we weren't there? All these people that came to watch a parade, and this man was in such pain. And how many opportunities do we let go by where we could just reach out to somebody with a word and kindness and show them how much God loves them? And I think of how we are the hands and the feet of the Lord. We are walking the streets. And without us there that day, this man would have not felt that comfort, that love of the Lord, a group of people that cared about him and loved him. And I think of that was such a powerful impact to me of thinking how something that small could make such a difference in somebody's life. And it happens all the time.
That's great. And that's one of the things I don't think people realize with the way our apostolate works is that it's so easy and it's so effective. And there's something missing if you aren't there. How many,
right.
You know, what if we weren't there?
Right. Exactly.
What if we weren't there?
And I think about all the times in my life that I wasn't there for people. And I think that's one of the things that's changed so much about me is we're all very busy in our lives and we're running from one thing to the next. And I would get very irritated with people if they were holding me up from getting to my next thing. You know, it's like, why are you moving so slow in traffic? Or why is this long line taking so long? But it's like when I started doing this, I changed how I looked at people and how I thought about people. And another story was I was in Owatonna and I was taking a package back to this facility. UPS has got a facility here, not a store. It's like in an industrial center.
Wow.
And I walked in and it's just me and this lady was on the phone that was taking care of people's packages and stuff. And she was on the phone and I'm like, I'm busy. She's on the phone. And I was saying my rosary in my head just by chance, by God's grace, I guess it would be because it always works that way. And she was on the phone for quite a while. And I didn't get irritated at all. I was just kept saying my rosary and she got done. I could tell she was upset on the phone and she got done. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that took so long. And she said, I have a little son who's 3 years old and he's got a lot of disabilities and he hasn't been eating this week. And I was waiting for somebody to call me back to see what our next step would be. And she just happened to call when you walked in. I said, that's not a problem at all. Don't worry about it. And it was just the two of us in there, which of course, again, is God's providence because, you know, I'm a little more cautious about doing something in a public place like that where the person might not feel comfortable. But anyway, I asked her, well, what's your son's name? Can you tell me? And his name was Tyler. Her name was Cindy. And I asked again, can I pray with you about that? And she said, well, yeah. So we prayed for her son, for his healing. And that was 3 years ago now. And Cindy and Tyler have been in my prayers every day. I've never seen her again in Owatonna, but she is in my heart every day. And I went from, I would have ignored her or been irritated with her before I started doing this. And I recognized that God put me there that day at that time because she needed somebody to be comfort to her, to hear her, to listen, to befriend. And it's just like, that happens to me all the time now. I think you guys probably find the same thing. When your heart is open to listening to people and seeing them as a child of God, God just keeps putting people in my path all the time. Yeah. It's beautiful.
I think that's so true. God changes the heart of the evangelist. Exactly. As you are, like you said, you're God's hands and feet and voice and whatever. And the more you accept, you know, the more you surrender to God, the more beauty he puts in there. And you see the world differently. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything's an opportunity. I mean, we're just open for God to do his work. And he always surprises you with opportunities to be able to share his love and your relationship with him and with others. It's beautiful.
I also, we have a local St. Vincent de Paul conference here and I'm one of the home visitors. So it's been really beautiful to see how this integrates into visiting people in their homes and helping them with some material things. But then we always end, or at least since I started doing this, we end with, you know, well, how's your faith life? Do you have a community of people that you can connect with? Because it's not just your physical needs, it's your spiritual needs that matter. Mm-hmm. And just this week I was on and I noticed when we were talking to this woman, she had almost like a little shrine set up inside of her apartment with a crucifix and a candle and a rosary. And so when I was asking, I said, well, this looks like you're Catholic. Are you Catholic? And she said, well, I grew up Catholic, but my son committed suicide 6 years ago. Mm. And I was really angry at God and I haven't been back to church and I have all this pain. And I said, you know what? You can come back in a second. Let me tell you how this works. And we've got a relationship with our local church here that if we are out, it's so hard for somebody to make that first step to call. I mean, I think that's why we accompany people. But we have this woman at one of our parishes that works there, and that's her mission is to walk with people one-on-one back to the church. So I said, you know, would it be okay if I had Wendy call you and she can talk to you about how easy that is and get you an appointment with Father? And just, you know, God's waiting for you to come home. And it's she just so literally in tears. And it's, again, those opportunities that God puts in our path that if we're open to that, you know, when I talk to people, it's like thousands of people come back to the church or come to the church just from simple conversations with St. Mm-hmm. Paul Street Evangelization volunteers. Mm-hmm. And what if our whole church did this? You know, what would we look like? What if we teach everybody to do this?
Now, these skills that you learned about how to have conversations, how to bring people back, how to answer questions. These are just these practical skills that you teach because you teach the basic evangelization training. So it's not something like, well, you just have this on your own. These are skills anyone can actually learn.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that when I go around and talk, the thing that strikes me the most is most Catholics are not aware that they're supposed to do this, that we're called to do this. Right. And then we're also not aware, or nobody's given us the tools to be able to do this. So I think what the biggest accomplishment or the biggest strength that we have as St. Paul Street Evangelization is that we can give people these tools. And it's so easy. And once you unlock that, like you mentioned, you felt kind of unlocked. I felt unlocked. Mm-hmm. I kind of had this longing in my heart to do this, but I never had any idea how you actually do it. And we provide those tools to people and let them practice it and then take them out to do it. And once you do it once or twice, it becomes second nature to you. It becomes mm-hmm. something that you become open to. And so I think the beauty of this apostolate is that we tell people it's okay. We show them mm-hmm. how to do that. We let them practice it. And then we're there to support.
And Deb, I mean, since then, you've been an evangelist with St. Paul Street Evangelization for many years. And now you've taken on this new role with St. Paul Street Evangelization called a regional director of teams. And I just wanted you to speak a little bit about that and what you're doing now for the apostolate and what this role is for you.
So I was a regional missionary, which in that role, I was working with a lot of different areas. So I work with the teams in the area, planting teams. I networked with the local deaneries, we call them in Minnesota. So working with the bishop, with the priests, clusters of priests, going to talks, working with my own diocese and other dioceses, and just, again, opening that conversation about evangelization, because I think as a whole, as the Catholic Church, it's changing now, but we've been pretty unaware that mm-hmm. this is what we should be doing. And then modeling, again, this is what it looks like, talks, trainings. I also work with teams, again, going out on the street with teams. And I think it's been just really an amazing experience. But that networking piece started multiple years ago. So when I first started being a regional missionary, I started this networking and found that, especially in my own diocese with Bishop Quinn, his heart was already on fire for this. And so it was like and I found that with a lot of bishops, they've just been kind of waiting for how can we go from talking about evangelization to doing evangelization. So I would say my days spent a lot of it with working with the teams in the area, networking with different groups. I do a lot of speaking. So I do a lot of free talks, short free talks to parishes. And then that's usually the first step is I started with reaching out to all the bishops in the region to just make them aware that we are having teams and planting teams in the area and just to kind of let them know, inform them. I was fortunate enough because Bishop Quinn has been just so amazing. He gave me a letter of recommendation because he's actually been out evangelizing with me and has wow. seen how this works. And, he even made a comment, we were on a radio show, that he's become a better bishop because he's been out evangelizing. Wow. So it's kind of opened a part of him that is, he didn't really get a chance to do that as often as he could have.
Did that attract a lot of people on the street when they're like, who is this guy?
Oh my gosh, he's probably the best evangelist I've been out with.
He
exudes this love of people. That it's palpable. I mean, people can see that how much he cares about people. His rectory is right on the grounds of Winona State University. So when we evangelize at his rectory, we put our table up right on the lawn, and all the students walk by. They're going to classes in the morning. So the last time we were out, it was the week of finals week, and almost everybody that walked by wanted a prayer for finals. One girl was coming down the street and she goes, oh, Bishop Quinn, can you pray for me and my whole class? We're taking our nursing boards today. And it's like, he was like, oh yeah, we're giving out medals to them. And he was even a couple of weeks ago, we were outside Walmart, Bishop Quinn and some of the priests and seminarians. And it's like, he's just, it's just amazing to see that. So that support is actually really opened the door to a lot of different opportunities. So I can use that connection with Bishop Quinn has just, it kind of legitimizes us. Like, there's so many groups that come and go. And if you haven't heard about our apostolate before, how do people know that we're, you know, that we're above board, that we're valid, that we have all this approval? Well, we can send them to our website, but you can also then personally say, you know, we've been out on the street with this team or that team or spoken at this event. So it really kind of has helped, I think, open the door in the Midwest. And it's just been such a wonderful experience.
Yeah. What would you say is your greatest blessing with working with St. Paul Street Evangelization?
I think that for me, the greatest blessing is just having that piece of myself, that piece of my soul unlocked to be able to be open to talking to people about the faith. Because I think for most of my adult life, I felt very private about my faith and really didn't know how to speak about my faith. So when I was trained by St. Paul Street Evangelization to be able to do this, and they let me practice, and now I've had the practice doing that, it's like a part of me that was dormant is now alive. And so it's just changed me as a person tremendously. Mm-hmm. And to see the people that I talk to, the hearts being opened, and to actually watch the Holy Spirit working throughout, I think, the whole United States, because I've been at a lot of events where I've just seen people, and you share with them this story of evangelization and what we're doing, and it, you can just see the kind of, like with me hearing it on the radio, it's like this little spark unlocks, and then their hearts become open. So the Holy Spirit has just been so powerfully moving and lighting souls on fire. It's just been an incredible blessing.
Wow. And your role with St. Paul Street Evangelization has shifted a little bit since you've taken on this new role of Director of Evangelization Teams, where it's not just you setting up a team and finding places to evangelize, which, I mean, obviously it sounds like you love, and there's, you know, very powerful stories that come from it every time that you go out. But now you are helping other people, equipping other Catholics who want to be able to start teams to be able to do that. What's that experience been like for you?
Well, it's really just amazing. It's such a beautiful thing to happen. And I think it's helpful to them. What usually happens is I'll get invited to a church or an event to talk about, just briefly, about St. Paul Street Evangelization. They're usually a little nervous to start out with, like, yeah, I don't know if I want this lady to come. And then we kind of go to...
Oh, they're nervous about you coming.
They're nervous about me coming, yeah. What's she going to make us do? Yeah. And then sometimes it's just kind of an introductory conversation. Like last night I was at the Casey's from one of the local communities. They're always looking for speakers, short mm-hmm. speakers. So they invited me to come, and it was 15 minutes is all
short,
I had.
Short as in
15
short,
minutes.
Short talks, not short people.
No, short, yeah, short talks.
So it wasn't a 10 great ways talk. It was,
smaller. It was just, this is who we are, and this is what we do. And then I kind of end it with, here's what we could do next. And before I even got to that point last night, somebody raised, well, what could we do next? You know, this further. And so that's what you end up seeing. And then my next step, unless you're sure that, you know, that you've got a team ready to go, I usually do the 10 great ways to share your faith. And because then it's a little more practical of this, these are things that you could do, and people see that, hey, I could do that. You know, mm-hmm. I could, and I'm not going to give away the 10 great ways items, because we want people to invite us there to talk.
That's right. and we give those, that 10 great ways talks, we have a number of regional missionaries and people that can do it all over the country.
Exactly. So wherever you are, find out who can come and give that talk for you, because it really does inspire people to have their hearts be open to doing this. And then if there's, again, that interest from there, then we move into actually training people. And if you're interested in starting a team, then I walk with those team leaders. Here's the steps you have to go through. I can come out and evangelize with you. People are a little nervous about doing it the first time, so it helps to have somebody experienced. Like when I was in Detroit and went out on the street the first time, it meant so much to me that I was with somebody that had done it before, and I didn't feel like the pressure was on me. I could just kind of experience it and learn. And so that's my goal, is to help teams to be able to have somebody experienced come with them and help them with practical tips to get a team started.
Yeah. Brian's one that brings everyone on. When you get on the website and you hit get involved and want to find a team or start a team, you know, that goes to Brian and I, but mostly Brian walks them through it. And,
it's such a blessing that you guys do that, because it really does eliminate some of that fear that people have when there's a person they can talk to.
Yeah, they're like, oh my gosh, you're working for St. Paul's Shred Evangelization and you're out there evangelizing? I can definitely do that.
Yeah, that's what I think they say to me too.
After talking with you, Brian, I just have so much confidence in that.
Well, I mean, we do give people the practical skills. We give them everything they need, so it's so easy. It's like, if you have the heart, if you have a zeal for souls and the heart to spread your faith, and you're feeling that little, you know, is it me, Lord? Are you calling me? Here right. I am, Lord. You know, take the plunge.
Right.
I mean, we're right there with you.
And I wanted to ask you, Deb, now that you're in the position where you're helping teams get started, what would you say is the greatest roadblock from people starting their own team?
I think it's probably pretty much the same as people even doing any kind of evangelization. There's a fear. So there's a fear that I've never done this before. I'm not used to doing this. How would I ever stand up in front of people and talk about my faith? So the fear is something that we can overcome with the training if hearts are open. There's a fear of the unknown. So what if somebody asks me a question that I don't know the answer to? And people feel like they have to know everything. I can't go out on the street and share my faith because I would have to know the answer to every question. And that's mm-hmm. just simply not the case. And I think for most of the teams that I talk to, the fears never realize, because you end up 95% of the time, you are not doing any kind of apologetics. You are ministering to people's hurts. So you're listening, you're befriending, you're proclaiming, you're inviting. And every once in a while, it's like your worst fear is that somebody's going to come up and challenge you about something and you're not going to have the answer. And I went actually 3 years before that happened to me. It was just a couple of weeks ago. This man came up and told us we were not Christian, Catholics weren't Christians, all the things that you hear people say about. And it was like, we just treated him with love and kindness and listened to what he had to say. And I even said to him, because I heard Steve Ray say this, so I took this from him, you know what, you must really care about us to want to share this with us, because you think we don't believe in the Lord. But we do believe in the Lord. And again, we appreciate that you cared enough to point this out to us. And then we would share our things. It never got heated, never got argumentative. He wanted to tell us his story. We would have, answers. But the Holy Spirit is kind of with you when that happens. But again, so it happened. And you know what? I survived.
So what happened? It sounded like you had the answer or when you spoke with them.
Well, we did have the answers. It was actually, I happened to be out that day with a priest and two seminarians. And this gentleman was like in his 70s. And you could just tell he spent his whole life very anti-Catholic. So we weren't going to change his mind. You know, I was kind of hoping for that. Oh, right at the last minute, he's going to say, oh, take me into the Catholic Church. But, that wasn't what it was meant to be. But I think we made some very calm points to him. And we were very familiar with our faith. So when he'd ask us a question, we had an answer. We weren't, argumentative or fighting with him about it. But he wasn't going to listen to what we had to say. I could tell that from the first 10 minutes. So we actually were there. We spent about 20 minutes talking to him. Wow. And then it started to rain and we had to end the conversation. But I think some of the things we said to him are going to touch his heart, and he might think about things differently after that.
Wow.
So the things that you think are going to be so scary are, when it actually happens, it's just a person. You know, we just kept looking at him. You are a child of God and God loves you and we're going to treat you with love, no matter what you say to us. And he didn't get abusive or anything like that. It's just, it's kind of amazing how God ends up doing things like that. I was actually out on the street corner and we were handing out medals, and I had some crucifixes with me also. And these two young men were walking down the street, and I said, hey, we're giving away medals today. Would you like one? And he says, well, don't give me one of those ones with Jesus on the cross. Don't you know that Jesus isn't on the cross anymore? And I said, you know what? I do know that Jesus isn't on the cross anymore. But can I tell you why we as Catholics have Jesus on the cross? And he said, oh, yeah. And so I said, well, you know John 3:16, right? And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, every time we walk into a Catholic church, we see Jesus on the cross and we remember that beautiful sacrifice that he made for us. We remember it. We honor it. And we see that every day. And he said, you know what? Give me one of those ones with Jesus on the cross.
That's a great way.
He was on his way to a job interview. And so just by knowing that, because I hadn't known before that Protestants think we don't believe Jesus is resurrected, some of them, you know, not all of them. And that's why we have Jesus on the cross, because we think he's still being sacrificed. So it, you know, it does help to know some apologetics, but most of the time that just doesn't come up. It's just really loving people.
That's a great answer.
That is a great answer. I've heard Protestants tell me before, like, you're sacrificing Jesus over and over again. He only needed to be sacrificed once. I'm like, oh, we believe that too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's usually the answer. We believe that
too. We believe that too.
You only can pray to God.
Yeah.
So, Deb, I got a quick question. I know you just did a little talk about the nuns evangelizing the people that say I'm spiritual but not religious or whatever. And there were some statistics you found, and one of them was the importance of evangelization, how different Christian groups look at the importance of evangelization differently. I don't remember exactly what the statistics were, but could you share that with us?
Yeah, I've mentioned that to a lot of groups. So there was a study done of how important is evangelization to how you understand your faith. And they asked different faith traditions. So for mainline Protestants, which would be about like Lutherans and that kind of type of faith community, what percent do you think said evangelization is important to how I understand my faith? You can guess.
Oh, I would think high, like 70%.
Yep. So for mainline Protestants, it was 60%.
Wow.
Okay. How about evangelical Christians? What do you think? How important was it to them?
85%.
You're exactly right.
85%. Whoa, that was really just.
How about Catholics? What do you think Catholics answered to that?
8%.
What do you think, Beth?
I think probably 25.
3%.
Oh my gosh.
So Houston, we have a problem.
So the study says,
I say that to people because I, you know, people feel bad that they're not out there. And it's, you know, culturally as Catholics, we're not learning this. And it took generations for this, for us to lose this. It's going to take time for us to build this back up again. And again, you guys probably see it too. I'm seeing those things change. I'm seeing where Catholics are now open to this, but the majority of Catholics are not aware that evangelization is part of what we do as a faith. Mm-hmm. So that's part of our mission, I think, and our apostolate is to make sure that we begin to share that good news with Catholics, that this is part of what we're called to do.
That's an amazing statistic.
Oh. Yeah.
No wonder when they see evangelization in Catholic, they're like, what?
Yeah,
that doesn't even make sense. Yeah.
That's true. And I always hear Steve's response, or is it Adam's response, where he was evangelizing on the streets and the other denominations were like, Catholics, it's about time you got out here or something like that. He loves telling that story. Where it's not like they went up to even argue with them or to have any discrepancy. They're like, finally, Catholics are joining the will or desire to evangelize those in the community too. This is great. Like they're excited to have us out there. Adam tells a story like that. It is great.
Yeah. It's amazing. We have a county fair. It's the largest free fair in the state of Minnesota. So people can come in at no cost. And it's probably about 250,000 people come through. And
we have a
booth there. And last year was the first year I helped to run the booth. So we were doing evangelization at the booth table. And I had many people of different faith traditions that came up and said, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for praying with people. Thank you for talking about God. So again, it's like you said, you know, now the Catholics are here. We're not just giving away books. We're actually interacting with people and sharing God's love with them. And it's really just a beautiful thing.
And we're doing evangelization. I had one person call. They're all interested in St. Paul Street evangelization and learning about it. And as we talked, it became apparent that what he was really looking for was a program to study with his men's group for 6 months. And I said, well, that's fine too, but we actually do the evangelization, not just talk about evangelization. Yeah. We're direct evangelization, a simple class, and you're ready to go out there and share the faith and pray with people and show God's love. It's just so easy.
Yeah. And one of my favorite quotes from Pope Francis that I usually bring up when I'm talking somewhere is that he tells us it's not enough to open our doors and welcome at the churches, which is something that I think some churches are pretty good at. Some still need some work on that. But if somebody finds us, we're pretty good about saying, yeah, come on in. We'll welcome you. But he says we have to go out through those doors and meet people where they're at. And our apostolate at St. Paul Street Evangelization is doing just that. We go where people are. We meet people where they're at. We don't wait for them to come to us. Mm-hmm. And again, we don't chase people down. We don't shout at them that they're going to hell. But we go where people are, and then we are available to them to talk about. And there's such a hunger.
Such a hunger.
To talk about faith. There's just nobody talks to people. I think that's when you talk about the nuns. They're not used to talking about God. People don't talk to them about God and their relationship with God. And the things that bring them in and keep them there is mentoring, accompanying them, being willing to talk about the faith with them. And so we as a Catholic community have to begin changing how we do things, because we can't do things the way we've always done it and expect things to be different. We have to begin relationships with each other. Adam always uses the line, a bunch of strangers that come together on Sunday that worship. Mm-hmm. That's not who we should be. We should be a community of people who know each other and who walk with each other on our journey to get to heaven.
Amen. Amen. Well, Dad, that's about all the time that we have today. Was there anything else that you felt called to say or wanted to say, but we didn't ask you the right questions?
Oh, how many more hours could we go?
This is going to be our special 8-hour podcast.
Yeah, special. We'll have the series of it. I think one of the things that you have stories and Beth has stories and I have stories, and I just want to let the people that are listening know that when your heart is open to this, God is going to give you these same stories. I mean, you are going to experience in your life the blessings that happen when you're open to sharing your faith. And whether it's, you're in a restaurant or you're out with a street team, when you open your heart to God, the blessings are just enormous.
Amen.
That's true. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Beth, anything you wanted to add?
I just found it amazing that Deb remembers an encounter with Tony 5 years later.
Yeah.
5 years later, and it's still on your heart. Because these are real encounters we have with people, real encounters with real people. And it's just such a blessing to be an evangelist. It's such a blessing to be able to bring the love of God to others.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, if you ever want to know what's going on near you, you just go onto our website, streetevangelization.com, and you click under events, and it'll show you the training events that are going on. So that's always great. And just remember that we are St. Paul Street Evangelization, right, where we train.
And we're on a mission from God.
And we are. To train, equip, and mobilize ordinary Catholics to do their extraordinary work of evangelization in order to save souls.
Amen. Deb, thanks for being on with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for sharing everything. Yeah, it was wonderful. God bless.